Tell Me a Story is exactly what it sounds like. There's no schedule, no time limit, no rules, and no boundaries. Welcome to Tell Me a Story. It seems only fitting to have this be the first in this new side project, even if it doesn't exactly fit the model of what this feature is supposed to be. Darcy Benincosa is a photographer and filmmaker who has a story to tell. A lot of stories, actually. I'm on the line right now with Darcy Benincosa. She is partially native. You live here in Utah a little bit, yeah?
I do, about half the year.
Because I see on your card that you're Park City, mm-hmm. Los Angeles, and mm-hmm. New York City.
Exactly. All the three best cities ever.
Now, to begin, we first mentioned Darcy in the project, which is the reason that I'm calling her today, at the Big Gay Wedding Reception that had a name I can't remember.
Elevated.
That's it. Love Elevated, which I think is dumb. My name's better. and Darcy's put together a project called Where All the Stories Are Love Stories. And we, because the title was long, we didn't figure out that was the title on your handout card at the thing. And so we stepped all over it and we're like, well, it's just a really cool lady and here's her website. Go click it. And we did not do it justice. And so I've been really wanting to talk to you since then. One, to apologize, and two, to properly flog what we in Utah considered 17 days of everybody is an American.
That is a really good alternate title for it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you throw your hands in the air and we claim solidarity for equality and gay marriage, same sex marriage, civil unions, yada, yada. And the truth is that and I've said this before on the show, my emotional reaction was that for just a little over 2 weeks, my friends, my family, and people that I loved were given the full rights and duties in Utah of every American. And it did. It gave me the weepies because deep down inside, my jaded and angry exterior is a very patriotic nerd who still loves fireworks and 4th of July is still my favorite holiday, and not in a fake way like Hannity. I really do. I really love the promise of America and what it means. And for just those few days, people that I care about, even people I don't care about, were given the opportunity to share in that, whether they took advantage of it or not. Now, you've got a project that follows along these lines, but I believe on a broader scale. And that's where all the stories are love stories. And you've got a Kickstarter. We're going to give the link to that here in the interview and on the website. But if you want to take just a minute, or 10 or 20, whatever, as long as you want, and to tell us a little bit about the project, where you're coming from with it, and what your expectation of where you want it to go.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I really felt the same during those 17 days, and it was almost like my friends had a small chance of what it could feel like to just be a normal part of society. And I think that those of us who get to just be a normal part of society and we get those things so naturally that it's really hard for us to imagine what life would be like if we suddenly didn't have a whole slew of rights that we're just very accepting to have. And it's really easy, I think, for those of us who have those rights to not think that this is our problem or our concern, or why should we bother with it, and we're not gay or we don't know gay people, so it really doesn't affect us. But for me, that's a really small-minded way of looking at, like you said, America, how you get a little weepy with the 4th of July. I've always felt that way. And I remember when I was studying storytelling at Brigham Young University, I was very fascinated with the American dream.
You went to BYU?
I'm a BYU girl. I know I don't say it too much, but I did. And I had a great education there. And one of the things that really stood out to me a lot during my education was the idea of how stories shape culture and how everything that we do as a society is formed by the stories that we tell each other, whether it's through books, TV, gossiping at the water cooler, all of those stories matter. And as I've been photographing weddings again and again and again, and more gay weddings, I realize there is a huge gap in our history where so many stories like that never had a chance to be told. And so that was the catalyst for this project.
Well, that's fantastic. And it's not to brag on we that see things in a more open-minded way, but
let's brag.
It's kind of, yeah, I think we should. you know, it's a situational societal awareness that a lot of people do not have. I look back to over the last year when we saw several very prominent, very angry, very anti-gay Republicans on the federal level change their mind on marriage equality when people in their family, whether immediate family or even more distantly related family, came out of the closet to them and explained how they felt about being denied the rights and privileges of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness and liberty and justice for all. Boy, that sounded really, really over the top. But that's just kind of how I felt. And so here you are, straight up trying to make a buck, you know. And photographers, as I have known, you know, I've worked in advertising pretty much my whole professional career off and on. And I know how hard it is when you work in the creative fields to make ends meet. And still, you're able to take a look, separate sort of your grind for the awareness of what's going on around you to see how hell magical really it is for these people that are finally able to fulfill something, honestly, and I say this as a guy who's been married almost 12 years, totally for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, my joke has been for a long time, you know, if they want to get married, and they want to be just as miserable as the rest of us. Absolutely. Who am I to hang on to this misery all by myself? But the truth is, you know what? I'm not unhappy. Right. Take all the love out of it. Take all the care and emotion out of it. I get fantastic tax breaks and a much better tax return because I'm married. Mm-hmm. That's an American experience. And everyone deserves to have that.
Everybody deserves the option to have it, for sure. And for me, like you said, it's really simple. You know, it's right there, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And those words are so simple to me, and they're so simple to understand. But I grew up in a family where we didn't have a lot of out gay people in the community. And I think growing up in a Mormon family gave me this perspective that I understand the fear that people have by allowing gay marriage. However, I also understand coming out of the church and out of, you know, that kind of viewpoint and seeing the world. And like you said, when family members come out and they're gay and you realize, oh my gosh, this is the same person who's been in my household for however many years and nothing's being harmful with it. There does come a point where I think a story needs to be told that isn't like Bruno. Do you know Bruno?
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen, right? I think that is the perception. And that those are the stories that get made about gay people today. And they're always different. They're always eccentric. They're always flamboyant. And yes, you know, that's what my parents think of maybe when they think of gay people. But there are straight people who are flamboyant and, you know, things like that too. I don't think it has anything to do with gender. And so, I mean, with, you know, with being gay or straight.
Right.
And so for me, I think having children's storybooks where they're kid has two moms and having, you know, the Coke ad for the Super Bowl, having a gay couple being that, having a JCPenney catalog where there are two dads, things like that. Those are the things that are going to shift the way our culture is dealing with this issue. And so it won't even be an issue anymore. And then we can move on to things that are actual issues, like why, you know, 30% of Utah kids are on free or reduced lunch and they don't have enough to eat. That's actually an issue that we could maybe work to solve. And this needs not to be.
All right. No. I'm absolutely, we are on the same page. We do. We have important things in the world that need to be taken care of. Income disparity, poor, hungry kids. There are more empty houses than homeless people in America. Yeah. You know,
so it
seems kind of a no-brainer.
That this is getting so much attention. I really feel like this shouldn't be getting as much as attention. It should just be an easily fixable thing, but it's not going to be.
Right.
And I think we're all seeing that, especially living in Utah right now. We see, you know, for 17 days, our friends and family got to be normal. They got to have that little taste of the American dream, and then it was taken right away from them again. And the documentary will really take those stories on a visceral level and hopefully connect all of us together and really hit home to a lot of people who maybe haven't had the chance to connect with gay people in yeah. such a fashion.
Well, you know, one of the things you mentioned earlier was society's perception of flamboyance. And mm-hmm. you know what? When you take a step back, and I say this, you know, as a father, and you look at most pride parades, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. there's a pretty good chance I'm not taking my kids to a pride parade, but there's a pretty good chance I'm not taking my kids to Mardi Gras either. You
right.
know, it is a flamboyant celebration. But one of the things I've noticed with media, and which is why I think projects like yours are so important to help change the conversation, or at least the subliminal, dialogue in people's heads,
right.
is when you look at pictures from a pride parade, they're going to shock your normal conservative. And these are mm-hmm. the people that get out there and vote. They vote. Now, when you take a story of fatherhood like my friends Weston and Brandon, you know, Weston
who
is
I've interviewed.
Yeah, Weston is a much better father than I am. And I don't say that.
He's a better dad than pretty much 90% of
oh
the
my god, I know. His kids are so damn lucky, and my poor kids got stuck with me, you know? And I feel awful for my children when I compare them. When it's just me and my kids and I compare them to my growing up, my kids are fantastic. But then I look at fathers like Weston and Brandon and I go, holy shit, I am really, really dropping the ball with these little monkeys. you know, when folks, and by folks, I mean folks, you know, when folks meet guys like Brandon and Weston and they see just that normal day to day, the 364 days of the year, you know, when it's not a pride parade.
Yeah.
They can start to open their minds about, I think, acceptance in the same way that we did watch the Republicans with outed family members come around. Mm-hmm. Dick Cheney is fine with marriage equality. And if the Darth Vader of the Republican Party can be fine with it, I think deep down inside, members of my family should be able to pull their heads out and find a little acceptance themselves.
I think there's a lot of hope for all of us. And I think in 5 years, this conversation hopefully will not even need to be happening. I hope it doesn't have to happen in a year. And Weston and Brandon are perfect examples. And I went over and did a little interview with them. And, you know, Weston was playing with Zane, you know, with
Xander.
Yeah, with Xander with one hand, and he was cuddling Zoe with another. And he gave, you know, those children are so lucky
yeah.
to have Brandon and Weston. And those are the stories that I really want to tell. The simple stories that connect each of us. We can all understand what it feels like to be part of a family that has two really caring and loving people at the head. And, you know, a lot of us can't. A lot of us are single parent homes, but think of how awesome it is that those kids get both Brandon and Weston. And, those are the types of stories that I think get very, very, that have been ignored for hundreds and hundreds of years. We don't have them. And it's not that it, you know, there wasn't the need or the longing or that, you know, people weren't gay in history. That's always been there, but we've just never
Abraham
given it
Lincoln.
The importance. Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln. I believe it. I don't know if I don't, it doesn't matter, but that'd be cool.
It would be cool.
I'm hoping, and one of the reasons why I'm really excited and really hoping for success on your Kickstarter is we just need more rational voices to counteract the fear that's been pushing around on this. I mean, in 2004, in Utah, and so many other states at that time, we saw very hurtful and hateful amendments and laws passed from civil unions up, even cohabitation in some states. And the damage done there, I think when we look at poll numbers now, especially in Utah, where we see it's 45-45 with 10 undecided on the gay marriage issue, I think there is, to a certain extent, a collective guilt on the part of some for having bought into a political rant of anger, hate, bigotry, and that looking back at it now, they feel a little bad, so we get a better poll number. And then those that don't feel bad have actually become a little more frothy-mouthed. And because no one paid attention to the damage they were doing at the time. I mean, Ken Mellman, who was the head of the Republican National Committee at the time and was the head cheerleader for anti-gay messaging and the dangers of the gay, came out of the closet after he quit. And I hope no one lets him come to the big fun gay parties because he's a dick. And so, you know, you look at something like that. I do think we're seeing a sea change. And I do think that Utah's particularly vitriolic two-step amendment law is it's going to be so enjoyable for me to see that be the kickoff towards tumbling out the rest of these unconstitutional laws and amendments.
You know, I think it's a little bit of Utah's karma that it is going to be the catalyst state for having marriage equality happen.
I know.
And it really is. And it's kind of awesome.
You reap what you sow. Isn't that in the fancy book?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, so many times I know Utah, we talk a lot about peace and world peace, and that's a thing. But, you know, I think it was Mother Teresa who said, if you want a peaceful world, you have to have peaceful people. And I think that it sounds really, you know, idealistic, but I am a little idealistic. I would never attempt to make a documentary like this if I didn't have a little bit of idealism and I didn't have a lot of hope in people. And I didn't have that knowledge that when we can see things clearly and we can take away the propaganda, which, you know, some politicians will spew, and we can take away the fear, and we can put people like Weston and Brandon right next to people like you and me, then it's really simple. It's really simple. I mean, I don't know why we didn't learn this lesson. Harper Lee was trying to teach it to us many years ago with To Kill a Mockingbird. You take, you know, Atticus Finch, you walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. And
look at the brain on you. Literary references. Very nice.
Oh, I know. Is that impressive?
You know what? Yeah, it is, because not a lot of people would do that. And you're absolutely right.
So
there is right and there is wrong. And in compassion and empathy, which is what all of these people that go to church and talk about hating the gays pretend to have.
Right.
There is right and there is wrong. And you can find that right and wrong. And chances are, if it makes you spitting mouthed, terrified and angry, you're probably coming at it from the wrong point of view.
It's true. And, you know, that is one thing I really got drilled into me being raised Mormon is the right and the wrong. Luckily, I've been able to take that and really see the truth of the matter, which a lot of people, because I'm not gay, ask me, why do I care about this story? And I look at them and just want to say, why do you not care about this story? You know, justice injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And that phrase gets tossed around lightly. But if we really think about it, that's the reason why I'm making this movie. And that's the reason why all of us should care a lot more than I think we do. It's easy to ignore problems that don't affect us, but on some level, it's going to start affecting people.
Well, you know, it can easily fall back to the old, and I'm going to say his name wrong, Martin Niemöller.
Mm-hmm.
Niemöller. How do you do the umlaut? I can't remember how you say the umlaut. The first they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. I get asked, you know, as well as a straight ally, why I care. And it is hard to open my mouth and be because I love my country. I care when we do bad things to people in our country. When you look at, I mean, it's a common throw around right now, and this may become dated later, but if Muslim folk were to have done to the water system in West Virginia what Freedom Enterprises did, we would go to war with them.
Absolutely.
And when we interred all of the Japanese folk on the West Coast, but not the East Coast, just the West Coast, so it was very selective regional racism in World War II, even with Scalia saying it'll happen again someday, it was still wrong, and we know it was wrong. And so you're supposed to be able to look at your historical behavior and change. And I feel that that is coming along very slowly now. And I hate to say it like this. No, I don't. I love to say it like this. Sooner or later, most of these old people will be dead and everything will be fine. And we'll find some other dipshit thing to just wrap our heads around and be upset about.
I keep wondering what the next dipshit thing is going to be. But, oh, my God. You know,
it's going to be redheads. They're coming after us next.
The gingers.
Because we do have souls. We get a freckle for every soul we steal.
Oh.
All right. Let's take a deep breath. And we'll come back to the project in just a minute. It's where all the stories are love stories. You can find it over, just Google that, and it pops up with the Kickstarter. I threw a pledge in. Those that are listening, you should do so as well. Again, we're suspending the beg for Left Show money to tell you guys to go over and support Darcy on this. It's very important, and if you don't do it, I'm going to find you and I'm going to make fun of you, because that's what I do. But I want to talk about, you just had some of your work in Sports Illustrated, if I recall the posts correctly. Is that?
Yes. I was part of the creative team that photographed all the Winter Olympians for Sports Illustrated. And
that's
it just
badass.
Hit stands on Thursday. It was pretty badass. You know, lots of fake snow, lots of ice. I got to meet a lot of
just
Olympians.
Like Sochi.
Exactly.
They have palm trees there. It's like St. George. Just, you know, perfect. Not as regimented.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, they found me on Instagram. How's that for social media?
Nice.
Awesomeness. Yeah, it pays. But I got to hand the really talented guy the cameras and set up the lighting and finesse the shoots a little bit. And my sister did the hair and makeup. So it was kind of a team effort for all of us.
That's fantastic. I mean, that really is a huge thing. I did. When Mitt Romney was not taking bribes, when no bribes were being offered here in Salt Lake City, I did a lot of security work. It was right after I did a lot of site security and security consulting for some of the international folks. And I ended up working really closely with the Sports Illustrated team. They set up a bar with closed caption TVs in the train station downtown. I basically lived there drinking
nice.
Free beer and watching television. I love curling. Curling
you know
is my sport. And that was the only place where I could actually watch curling and not stupid highlights of curling.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
they hook you up. They're a pretty legit company. And it was a really amazing opportunity to work with them, especially because I do shoot mostly love stories. It was awesome to work with all those athletes who just are so dedicated to you know, living their dreams and their passions. It's pretty intense.
Well, you know what? And I can see it as a run parallel to the other work that you do, you know, unless you have a bridezilla. We didn't have that. My wife was disengaged from our wedding.
I shot, you know, Dustin and Spencer from the Home Depot marriage proposal. I shot their wedding on Saturday, and the whole day I just kept saying, you guys, this is just the most amazing wedding. I'm so calm. Everything's so amazing. Why is this so great? And then I realized, oh, I don't have to deal with a bride. It was perfect. Not that I don't love all my brides and brides,
oh, sure.
If you're listening, I love you. But it was such a perfect wedding. And, you know, as I was photographing their wedding, I thought, what a gift. What a gift their love is. What a gift their commitment is. How amazing are they, these two people, and all that they do together and how they strengthen each other and support each other. And I just thought, you know, gay people are a gift. And they, you know, that positive male energy in my life, they just kept hugging me throughout the day and thanking me. And they were so kind and so gracious. And those are the stories that I want to tell. And those are the stories that are going to do nothing to harm society. In fact, those two people can only enrich our world, make it better. And their love and commitment to each other is honorable to me. And it's rare. And they have every right to be celebrating it right now. So.
Well said.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Cheers
well
to them.
Said. You bet. All right. Where all the stories are love stories. Find it on Kickstarter. I'm going to say your name wrong again. Hang on. Darcy Benincosa.
Very good.
Photography and film.
You even said it a little British. I liked it.
I do what I can. Darcy Benincosa, photography and film on Facebook. Go there and like it. I will have her name and as many of her links as I can find. There's several. On our site at theleftshow.com. Anything else? Anything else you want to pitch?
I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to really talk about this project. It really is, it's a lofty goal, but we just need a lot of people to put in $10 and it'll be backed. And they will be a part of something really important and a part of history and stories that really need to be told. And I think that is, it's what's going to help move this forward. I don't want to come to it from a political point of view. That's being done on many, many levels. I don't want to come to it from a hateful point of view. I want to come to it from a view that we can all understand. And that really is the love stories.
Do. I knee jerk straight to politics because that's where I come out of. And one of the things I find so beautiful about your project is its absolute lack of political motivation. It doesn't make sense to me. I find it strange and confusing, but I respect the hell out of it. I like what you're putting together. I wish you all the best and will put as much effort as I can muster toward trying to help you out. I threw a couple of bucks at you today. Not much.
I'm multitasking. You were doing it while you were interviewing.
I did it while we were talking.
It popped up on my phone and I thought, God damn, he's pretty awesome.
I've been meaning to do it for 2 friggin' weeks. Since we met.
Everybody out there who's been waiting to do it for 2 weeks, go do it today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Darcy, thank you so much for your time, your effort, and honestly, you're giving a shit where other people don't.
Thank you so much. That is going on my gravestone.